1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin to read at the 8th verse, reading 3 verses. All right, and after you've found that, just close your eyes with me for just a moment and let's claim God's promise. Father, you said that your word never would return void, that it would never be unprosperous, that it would never fall nor fail, that every word that you have uttered that's recorded is eternal, it's faithful, it's true, and it's pure. You said also, Father, that faith cometh by hearing the word. And we claim tonight your promises, Father, for us, that as we minister out of the word, as we look at the wonderful gifts of your Holy Spirit, that you will open up our mind and cause it to be renewed, that you would strengthen us in faith, cause our faith to be fed and to grow. And in the name of Jesus, Father, just otherwise bless us overflowing by the hearing and the receiving of your word. We thank you in advance for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're studying the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We have said just by way of brief review that our study of the gifts of the Spirit is limited in this series to the charismatic gifts or graces, or the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. We recognize that God gives many other kinds of gifts, natural enablings. But this list that Paul records here for the Corinthian church is the list of the supernatural enablings, those that come by supernatural unction of the Holy Spirit, those that come upon a person not because of how good he is or how intelligent he is or how much he has learned or developed or grown, but simply because he will respond and receive by faith and that God chooses to use that person that way. And that's what this 11th verse means, that he divides, he the Spirit, divides to every man severally as he wills. You can't work these up and you can't work them down. You can pray for them and ask God for them. He said that we are to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, Paul said in the 14th chapter, the first verse. But these are supernatural or charismatic enablements of the Holy Spirit. We've discussed, again by way of review, that the gifts are divided into 3 basic categories. The gifts of revelation, there are 3 of those. And what are those 3 gifts of revelation? Gifts that reveal something. What are the 3? We read a list of 9 here. What 3 are revelational gifts? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. All right, those are the 3 that are revelational. They reveal something. They take a portion of what God knows and supernaturally by the Holy Spirit reveal it to a man or to a woman. Revelational. All right, then we have studied the 3 gifts that we know as the gifts of power or the operational gifts. Those gifts that not that reveal something, but that do something. What are those 3 gifts? Faith. What are the other 2? Speak it up, please. Working of miracles. It's all right if you get on the tape. And the 3rd one, please. Gifts of healing. All right, those are the 3. Working of miracles, faith, and gifts of healing. They are the gifts that do something. They are operational gifts. Tonight we begin the study of the utterance gifts or the vocal gifts. These are the gifts that say something. We've seen the gifts that reveal, the gifts that do. These are the gifts that say something. What are those 3 gifts? All right, let me have the gift as it is in the Word. What does Paul call it? Prophecy, okay. Diverse kinds of tongues, okay. Now let me tell you why I do this. When I say tongues, you know what I'm talking about. When you say tongues, I know what you're talking about. But when we say tongues, most people don't know what we're talking about. And sometimes we get hung up on our language and we confuse other believers, other Christians who are earnestly seeking and searching. And it keeps people away from the fullness of God's spiritual blessings. And that's why I keep coming back to this. Say, let's call it what Paul called it. Let's call it what the Holy Ghost called it, you see, through. All right? What is the third one then, please? Interpretation of tongues. You see, it's not interpretation, it's interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. All right. Now, this week, we're going to talk about diverse kinds of tongues. Next week, interpretation of tongues, and 3 weeks or 2 weeks from tonight, prophecy. These are the three gifts of utterance or gifts which say something. All right, now, as we talk about tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, we're going to have to talk about other kinds of tongues tonight in order to distinguish what diverse kinds of tongues are. If there's confusion, what's the confusion all about? And I think we can see it tonight, and it'll help us to explain to some of our unbelievers or seekers or those that are curious. Seems that that tongues, speaking in tongues, is probably the most predominant or prominent gift which is associated with the Holy Spirit baptism. It was the first one that was manifested when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It's the one, anytime you talk today to anybody about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they all want to know about tongues and speaking in tongues and how about this tongues business. Those that are full gospel churches or Pentecostal churches, those that believe in the Pentecostal experience being an experience that's available today, are generally called upon to defend tongues and speaking in tongues and that whole business. Folks didn't want to know about that. They're identified with it. It seems that since this gift is the first one that is associated with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it is the first one that is received, the manifestation of speaking in tongues, when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is also the one that is most frequently manifested in the church. It's the one that we see most often. Now, this answers the question, why is it that if this really is an experience like the New Testament experience, why is it always tongues? Why isn't it some of the other gifts of the Spirit, you see, that are listed here? Why is it always tongues, 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 tongues? And we get some flack from that, those of us who recognize the Pentecostal experience and know that it's real. Over in the book of James, turn over to that just a moment, to the third chapter. This gift is also the one that is most abused in the church. And it has caused great confusion. Now there are those that take the position today that Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, if you read on through there, they will say there are those that say that is the only place in the New Testament where the only place in Paul's letters where it is mentioned speaking in tongues, and that he was having a problem with the Corinthian church and he was trying to straighten them out. He was trying to get them off of this tongues business. He lists the gifts last in the list of the gifts, and there are those that feel today that it's the least of the gifts, and it's not for today's church, and Paul was against speaking in tongues. Well, we know that that's not true, and we'll see some of that tonight. We look in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. But it is a fact that the gift is badly abused. It is terribly misunderstood, even by those who speak in tongues, who do not really know what it is and don't know how to use it, don't know how to minister in it, don't know how to use it personally and privately. And I believe that James chapter 3 shows us why that is. Verse number 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Did you know that you can't tame your own tongue? See, James said here that the tongue can no man tame. Now, he's not talking about me taming your tongue or you taming mine. He's talking about me taming my own and you taming your own. The word says that no man can tame his tongue. It's an unruly member. It's always getting him into trouble. From the time he's this big until the time he goes into the grave, the tongue is the thing that he needs to get under control. It's always digging holes for himself. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Why is it important to speak in tongues? Now, we could really minister on that for the next 8 weeks. Why is it important to speak in tongues? But probably one of the most important reasons is to bring your tongue into submission to someone who can control it. And that is God. God the Holy Spirit, you see. If we yield our most unruly member to Him, He knows how to control it. And the act of speaking in tongues is the act of yielding your tongue completely to Him. Surrendering this, see, completely to Him and allowing Him to do with it what He wants. Now, speaking in tongues is not the only way we're to yield our tongue to the Lord. But it is a way of our entering into that relationship with the Holy Spirit where He does have control of the tongue. And it's important to us. Now, the gift is abused because it is a gift of utterance. It is a tongue gift. It's a gift of tongues. We get into the most trouble with our tongue in English. We get into the most trouble in spiritual things the same way. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's why it is abused. All right. Now, properly used, we know that God will never bring anything in an unknown tongue, a tongue unknown to us, but what is in accordance with the Word. And on that, let's turn to chapter 2. The more we know God's Word, the less likely it is we're going to start fires with our tongues. All right, as we talk about tongues now, are you turning there? Actually, the word that is translated tongues literally means languages. This may sound stupid, but to the uninformed, when you talk to people who are uninformed about speaking in tongues, all kinds of wild things happen. When you talk about the second chapter of Acts, I've heard them say that God gave the gift of listening to the ones that heard in their own languages, you know, rather than tongues. They weren't speaking in tongues. They were speaking in their normal language, but the people were hearing it, you see. It was a gift of diverse kinds of hearings. And you get into all kinds of things. And the Bible doesn't say that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you speak in tongues, that God gives you a new tongue. I mean, it's not literally a tongue. You understand what I'm saying? It's not literally a new tongue, but it's actually a new language. Speaking in other languages is what the Bible is talking about. Not with new physical tongues. That may sound silly that I say that, but somebody, probably not anybody here, but somebody is going to listen to this tape, and that's going to be important to them. See? Just something just that silly to you and to me. That'll be important to somebody. They'll understand. Oh, yeah, now I see it. Now I see it. Okay, he's talking about specific languages. Acts chapter 2, verse 6. Let's begin to read at the fourth verse. This is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was poured out in His fullness for the first time. Poured out into the earth. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Speaking in tongues is speaking in other languages. That's what it means, literally. Now if you'll turn over, please, to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's see what these languages are. 1 Corinthians 14, the 19th verse. And we'll come back to this verse likely later this evening, but I want us to get one truth out of it right now. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19. Yet in the church, Paul said, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. All right, now you see the word unknown there in your Bible is italicized, isn't it? That means literally that's not in the text. That's added by the translators to help us understand it. Paul is describing here in the 19th verse two kinds of vocal talking. One tongue is a tongue that he refers to as in his understanding, or an understood tongue, or a known tongue, all right? A known tongue, that's one kind of a language, a known language, a language that you understand that is out of your own understanding, all right? The second type, though, he says, is an unknown tongue. A tongue that he does not know, and the hearers do not know. So the Bible teaches us that there are known tongues as well as unknown tongues. All right? Two different types. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, you're right there, verse number 1, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He talks about two distinctions made here, the tongues of men and tongues of angels. Languages of men and heavenly languages, or languages of angels that men have never heard. Now, oftentimes you'll hear this argument used. That doesn't sound like any kind of a known language. Skeptics, you see, in hearing somebody speak in tongues. It sounds like an ecstatic utterance. It's not really a language. Well, sometimes it comes like that. Sometimes it is a very distinct kind of language, and you know it's a language. You can hear it. You can tell that it is. When you're praying in tongues, sometimes you'll pray in a language. You just know that it's a language. You can sense it as it's coming out. Other times you may pray, and oftentimes it happens this way. When you first receive the Holy Spirit baptism, it's an ecstatic kind of an utterance that perhaps has a lot of repeats in it. The syllables and the sounds are very repetitive. And that's the kind of utterance that many people attack as being senseless gibberish. And what benefit or purpose, you know, does that really serve? So it's not really a language. It's not really a tongue. Therefore, it's not of God. Paul says that there are tongues of men as well as tongues of angels. And we know that in the earth today, there are an excess of 3,000 known languages. Now, how many of you would recognize every one and be able to determine whether it was a known or unknown language? Sometimes we hear a language, it's a known language, we don't know it's a known language, you see? It's a language of men. But there are also other kinds of languages which are heavenly languages, the tongues of angels, which no man has ever heard. All right? Ecstatic utterance, even though it may not sound exactly like a language. I remember that when I first received the Holy Spirit baptism, that's exactly what happened to me, and I'm sure that many of you had the same experience. Initially, it was an ecstatic kind of a thing that was very repetitive and did not resemble any kind of a language. But as I continued to pray in that, all of a sudden that language changed. I mean, it just changed, just instantly. And out of my mouth was coming now something that sounded like, it was a guttural language. It sounded like German. I don't know it was German, but it was that type of a tongue. Do you know the kind of sound I mean? And then as I continued to pray in that, all of a sudden, it just changed again. I didn't do anything, but it changed again, and now it was Oriental. And there was Oriental sounds in it, you know, in the syllables and so on. And I mean, if I'd had somebody on the radio speaking Chinese, it would have sounded just the same, exactly the same. And many of you have had the same kind of experience. Known languages and unknown languages. Now, let me just give you a little aside here. I noticed in the newspaper tonight, just before dinner, that they are thinking about teaching black citizens of the United States English as a foreign language. Did you hear what I said? There's discussion now to teach black citizens of our country English as a foreign language. Okay? Now, our black citizens speak English, don't they? Well, it sounds like the same English that most of our white citizens speak. Now, they could very well give Midwesterners a course, you see, in English and call it a foreign language. Or New Yorkers, see, a course in, or Southerners, right? A course in English and call, you'll forgive me, and call it a foreign language. Now that's how many different languages they are. We all speak the same language. We speak it differently. Many different dialects and so on, you see? And people, I think they kind of forget that. All right, known and unknown tongues, tongues of men as well as tongues of angels. And just this hinders so many people. In trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak in other tongues. But when that begins to come, it doesn't sound like anything you ever heard before. It says, oh, I made that up. That's just me. I made that all up. And I don't know how many people I have talked to who have lost the blessing of God, have walked away from it because the devil, you see, has lied to them about what has come out of their mouth. See, that was just me. That wasn't God. There wasn't any great emotional experience with it. You just spoke in some kind of a gibberish. And immediately the devil speaks to you and you don't recognize his voice and you believe it and you think it's yourself and you walk away from it. Many people live years with a little instruction, you see, on these kinds of things, will just open it right up. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here like that, but you may have opportunity to minister to people who are trying to receive the Holy Spirit. And just be careful of that. Just because it doesn't sound like a language does not mean it's not the Holy Spirit. I wonder what it would sound like to a German to hear me or you go like this. Hallelujah! 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 Oh, hallelujah! Oh, glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 Now, see, he wouldn't understand hallelujah. There's the presence of God right there. And I tell you, that's how you enter God's presence. Whether you feel like it or not, you just close your eyes, put your hands up, and just begin to tell him you love him. Just begin to worship him and praise him. And I tell you, he'll manifest his presence to you just that quick. And that's what happened here just now. All right. Now, he doesn't understand my hallelujahs, you see. It sounds like gibberish to him. But to God, you see, it's beautiful. It's 10,000 praises to him. And we would react the same way, you see, if he were to say hallelujah in his own language. It would be the same word over and over and over again. Gibber, 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 gibber. Do you think God thinks it's gibberish? See? He's receiving that. So if you, in praying in the Spirit, particularly when you're praising the Lord or when you just received the baptism, just because it's the same thing all over again, you might be saying, I love you, Jesus. 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 Do you think he ever get tired of hearing you say that? Sound like the same thing all over again. Or, you know, it sounds to you, you don't understand what it is. And so you stop doing it. And he said, oh, I wish you wouldn't have stopped. See? We were coming down an elevator in a hotel in New York City, Lois and I, and there were two foreigners conversing in the elevator. And as they were conversing, and we hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit very long, and we didn't know a whole lot about this. And I mean, I looked at them. I thought, here they are in New York City speaking in tongues. And I turned around and looked at them. Really, I mean, it sounded just like that. It sounded like charismatic people. I thought it was. And I turned around and looked at them, and they were dark-skinned folks. You know, I could tell that they were not Native Americans. They were carrying on a conversation in their own language. And I said to Lois, that's just like speaking in tongues. It sounded like gibberish to me. But, I mean, they were having one more good time in it. And if you've ever gone to you go to Miami and watch a Cuban lady talking to her child. Now, if you don't think that sounds like gibberish, but the child understands what's going on, and so does the mama. But you see, to the untrained ear, it sounds like gibberish, and the devil tries to take that to rob the fullness of God's blessing from us. And he keeps people going, they get filled with the Spirit, but they never get the overflow. They never get the baptism in the Spirit because he shuts off the flow. He shuts off the flow. He gets you to doubt that, you see, and to disbelieve it. And that happens so frequently. Okay. We define speaking in tongues, all kinds of speaking in tongues, and we're going to talk about the two basic types in just a moment. But every kind of speaking in tongues, whether it be in a known or an unknown language, of men or of angels, it is a supernatural utterance. It is not based on a person's linguistic ability. You do not learn how to speak in tongues. You become more adept at it as your faith is released. And as you believe God to give you the utterance and you get your mind out of the way, it becomes freer for you and you're able to pray more freely and speak more freely, and God can use you more in that, and you have a freer flow, I want to say. But it's not something you learn to do. You do not learn how to speak in tongues. It doesn't come that way. You get yourself out of the way and the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. You work in obedience. It's a vocal miracle. Every time it happens, it is an absolute vocal miracle. There's a miracle in your life every time you speak in tongues. If it's just a short little phrase, it's a miracle. You have spoken a language that you never learned. It's miraculous. It is supernatural. Okay? It's not based on what you've learned. And I want to show you something else here, just for the benefit of your ministry. And a lot of the things that we're learning are designed, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to help us to minister to others. There are those, when you ask them about the gift of tongues, who will say, yeah, what I believe that the Holy Spirit is doing is giving you, when you are saved, a new tongue, so that if you were a profane person, you'll no longer be profane. If you had a bad mouth, you'll no longer speak with that. Well, that's true. That's true. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, if the Holy Spirit has come into your life, it surely ought to reflect in what comes out your mouth. Is that not right? Okay. But that is not the gift of divers kinds of tongues. That is not speaking in tongues. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, everything in that passage is a supernatural manifestation of the power of God. You don't cast out devils without the power of God. You do not drink poisonous things without harm, without God's power. You do not have a confrontation with a poisonous viper without harm, without the power of God. You do not lay your hands upon a sick person and have God make them heal, make them whole, without the supernatural power of God. You do not speak in tongues either without the supernatural power of God. If one of them is supernatural, they all are. And Jesus says, these signs shall follow them that believe. All right, it's not just cleaned up language. All right, now let's go on here to the different kinds of tongues. I know this is pretty basic for many of you, but for all of you, some of you have not been through this before, others of you have. If you haven't, it'll benefit you hearing it for the first time. If you have, it'll minister to you just to hear it again. I believe this is probably the area where there is the most confusion in speaking in tongues. There are two types of speaking in tongues, and I'm going to refer to them as, first of all, the devotional gift, and the second one is the ministry gift. The devotional gift and the ministry gift. The devotional gift is meant, turn to 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14th chapter. Fourth verse. Paul says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Tongues used in this way is meant to be a blessing to you. It is meant to be, it's a communion between you and the Lord. It's meant to bless you. The ministry gift, by definition, is meant by God to bless others. Now, we'll talk more specifically about that, but this is the one that you hear referred to as the prayer language. This one down here is divers kinds of tongues, the spiritual gift. Now, I'll tell you why this gives a lot of people difficulty. While you're there in 1 Corinthians, look at verses chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. Paul says this: Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Those that do not believe in speaking in tongues invariably go to that verse and say, it says it right there. Paul said, do all speak with tongues, inferring that everybody does not. And that verse of Scripture, with that mistaken understanding of it, has kept many, many, many sincere believers away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, has kept them away from the fullness of God's blessing. And I know in my own personal experience, when I understood the difference here, it just opened it up to me so that I could receive. It was easy for me to receive. Now, Paul does not in his letter take anywhere and specifically describe what I'm going to show you here, what we're looking at already. If he did, it wouldn't be so easily misunderstood as it is by many believers. The devotional gift is the initial evidence which is given to every Spirit-filled believer when they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit baptism. It's a consistent evidence, and it is scriptural. If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Acts. Acts 2, chapter verse 4, Acts 2, 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When they were filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. All right, turn to Acts 10, verse number 44 and following. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Fell on all of them there at Cornelius' house that day. Underline the word all. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. How did they know they'd received the Holy Ghost? They heard them speak with tongues. The same way, you see, that it was at the beginning. Over in chapter 11, verse 17, when Peter was telling the church what had happened at the among the Gentiles, he told the church, for as much then, in 17th verse, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he did it the same way. He gave them the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the reason he could tell that they had received it was that they spoke in other tongues. In Acts 19, verse 2, Paul coming to Ephesus, and he found some disciples there. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They didn't even know that there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost. And he went on to explain to them, and he shared with them Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection. They received the Lord Jesus and were born again. He baptized them in water. And then in verse number 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all, underline all, the men were about 12. Okay? There were 12 men there, sincere. When they heard the word, Paul prayed for them, laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. How did Paul know that they received the Holy Ghost? Because they spake with tongues. If you'll read in the 8th chapter, you'll see that Philip was down at Samaria. Now they laid hands on the Samaritans after Philip left and Peter and John came down and laid hands on them. And it doesn't specifically say there that they spoke in other tongues, but it does say that Simon the sorcerer was so excited about what he saw that he offered Peter money for the ability to lay hands on people so that they could receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Because there was an outward, obviously, an outward display. When a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, they will speak in tongues. They will speak in tongues. Now, let me tell you this. Let me show you this. I think we've talked about this once before, but let's do it here. There is a difference. I make a distinction. And I know that the ground may be a little shaky scripturally, but bear with me on this. I make a distinction between a person being Spirit-filled and Spirit-baptized. There's a difference. Now the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues. But just as you can take a glass of water, a glass, empty glass, and put some water in it, you could say that you had water in that glass, couldn't you? But you don't have a glass that is water-filled, do you? Do you have a water-filled glass? No. But suppose you pour the water in there and you fill it up. Now you have the water all the way to the top. You could say that you had a water-filled glass, couldn't you? But could you say that the glass had been baptized in water? Why not? Because there's no water on the outside of the glass. What does it mean to be baptized? Completely immersed in it, doesn't it? It means to have that water going everywhere. It means that on the inside, the outside, all over. Now, if you continue to pour more water in, what will happen? What will happen, please? It'll overflow down the side of the glass, and you could say now that you have a water-baptized glass, couldn't you? All right, now the same thing happens with a believer. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, all the way filled, but never be baptized in the Holy Spirit unless you get the overflow. Jesus said in John 7, 37, 8, and 9, on that great day of the feast, Jesus cried out and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. And out of the bellies," or the innermost beings, "of them that believe shall flow rivers of living water." In other words, the living water is going to flow out of the inside. Rivers, not a stagnant pool, but a river, a flowing river is going to come out. Now, how did it come out of the believers in Acts 2, 4? How did it flow out? Did they begin to spit water out of their mouth? Tongues. Tongues. That's what happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what came out? When the Holy Spirit filled them, what came out? Tongues. Tongues came out. What is the rivers of living water that's supposed to flow out of Spirit-filled believers? What's supposed to flow? Tongues. That's what's supposed to come. See? That is the evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I asked God to baptize me in the Holy Spirit 9 months before He ever did it. And I really shouldn't say before He did it. I should say before I received it. Because He had already given, you see. He had already given, but I wasn't receiving. I wasn't receiving. And He filled me up like this, but I wouldn't let it come out. I wouldn't let it flow. I wouldn't let the river flow. And all that time, I'm filled with the Spirit. I knew I was filled with the Spirit. I knew it. But I couldn't speak in tongues. I knew there was something wrong. I knew there was something missing. I want you to know that the day that I spoke in tongues, my life had never been the same since. I mean, it's something else. It's the something more, you see. There is more. Now, we have wonderful, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord who are truly Spirit-filled. I think you could call them legitimately Spirit-filled. I think we get into trouble, you see, with our Baptist brethren and with our Billy Graham fans. You know, we say, well, now, here he is. He's winning all these people to Christ. How could he do that without the Holy Spirit? He can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Amen. But if you're a Billy Graham, God's still got more for you, you see? It's not there's anything wrong with Billy Graham. But he's got more. He's got more. If you're a Paul, God's got more. He says, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all do. See? I thank my God I do that. So, if regardless of where a person is, if he's a little baby Christian and just doesn't have anything going for him, God's got more. You want to fill him with the Holy Ghost, baptize him in the Spirit. If he is a man that's winning millions to Christ, there's more there. See, if it wasn't important, Paul wouldn't have said when he came to Ephesus, he said, fellas, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? They said, what do you mean? Now, we never heard of there be a Holy Ghost. Now, why would he ask them that? Why would he ask them that? It's important. Jesus said, I command you, don't you leave Jerusalem until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:20 says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what did it for me. It was a commandment. It wasn't optional. Now, I'm going to find out how to do it and do it in order to obey the Lord, which is, okay, that's what happened. All right, it's a consistent scriptural evidence. Now, let me explain this. People will say, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is love and peace and joy and all those kind of good things. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, what you really ought to have is love, because Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm nothing. Now, that's true. That is true. And when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you will have a greater flow of love in you. You will have a greater flow of joy in you. You'll have a greater flow of peace in you and in your life. You'll have more boldness to witness for Christ. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Acts 1:8. You shall be my witnesses, you see, everywhere. You'll have more power in your life. These things will begin to happen in your life. They are evidences of the Holy Spirit. But here's the problem with using those evidences for the Holy Ghost baptism. They are not the scriptural evidence. They will be there, but it requires time to pass before you see that. It takes time for fruit to grow. A gift is something supernaturally, instantly given. Now, if these other things don't come along, then you've not made good with the gift that God's given you. You've not allowed the Holy Spirit to cause growth to come to the fruit that's in your life. But love is not the evidence of the Holy Spirit baptism. It is an evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, yes. But it is not the evidence for the baptism. Tongues is. Now, how do I know that? Because it doesn't say here they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they were overcome with love. It doesn't say Paul laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they loved one another. See? It says they spoke with other tongues. In Cornelius' house, it doesn't say the Holy Ghost fell on them. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost because they saw all of a sudden they loved each other, had great boldness, there was joy and peace in them. It doesn't say that. It says for, in other words, because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There are those today who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't want tongues. Don't worry about it. You won't ever get it. It won't ever happen. It's scriptural evidence. It's a consistent evidence, and it's an immediate evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit and His baptism. All right, it is also a continuing evidence, and I'm going to go through these just quickly. Why is this devotional gift valuable, and why is it important? It is given to every person who is baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you have not spoken in tongues, you've not been baptized in the Spirit. You may be filled, but not baptized. There's more, more, more. As much as you've received, there's that much more and then some. See, when you get that river flowing, more, 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 more as the river flows. Okay? Now, I know that there are many of our brothers and sisters, even full gospel folks, that do not agree with what I've just said and believe that you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues. I don't think that's scriptural, and I don't know why anybody would want it in a way other than the way they got it in the Bible. I mean, I want mine the way they got theirs. See, I want the dead to walk. I want them to raise up. I want the sick to be healed. I want those that are captive to be set at liberty. And if that's what if I want that kind of thing, I'm going to have to get it the way they got it here. And the way to that is the way they got everything else, see? They got the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in other tongues. Can you imagine what would have happened if the people on the day of Pentecost, the 120, would have said, gee, that's good, God, the mighty rushing wind, that sound, that's beautiful. Power of God, glory to God, the fire. Sitting on top of us. Wonderful, God. Wonderful, wonderful. But no tongues, please. No tongues. No. Give us the Holy Spirit, but no tongues that people won't understand. See? How are you going to be a powerhouse with God without taking all of that He's got? Hey, is that right or not? That's right. Okay. All right. It's a continuing evidence. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. There's been some bad teaching in Pentecostal circles for many years that this devotional gift, or this prayer language as we've come to call it, that's not what the Bible calls it, but this initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you do it one time when the Spirit fills you, but you never do it again. And there are many Pentecostal people, good brothers and sisters, love Jesus with all their hearts, who do not have this river flowing. Were baptized in the Holy Spirit, some of them many, many years ago, 40, 50, 60 years, some of them, baptized in the Holy Spirit, have not spoken in tongues since. Did not know that they were supposed to. Didn't know that it was something God had given to them that they could speak to Him with. See? Jesus said in the 4th chapter of John, God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And those blinders go off those folks' eyes, it's like a whole new experience with the Lord again. There are many that believe that. There are others that believe that the only time you're supposed to speak in tongues is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, shakes you real good, and you have a wonderful spiritual high. And all of a sudden, out comes this ecstatic utterance. Now, there are many that are like that. Those that are partaking in the spiritual outpouring today, even many who believe that, and do not speak in tongues in their private devotions, do not praise God in the Spirit, do not know how to do it at will, and never use it that way, only wait if they get into a service where the Spirit of God is moving, or if they get down and pray with somebody, or somebody lays hands upon them, Holy Spirit comes upon them, starts to shake them, then they'll out it'll come. But they don't know that they can go on and just pray when they want to, you see, in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. He said, I will. I will. I will do it. I will choose to pray in English, and I will choose to pray in tongues. I'll decide that I'm going to do it, and I will. God's given me a gift. It's a way that I can speak to Him. I can either speak in the Spirit or in my understanding, and I'm going to do both, he said. All right? Also, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 14:4 and in Jude 20, Jude says that we are to build ourselves up praying in the Holy Ghost. The use of this prayer language or this devotional gift is designed to build us up, edify us, strengthen us. That's why it's important for everybody, but most especially for those of you who have just been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've just received the Holy Spirit, you ought to pray in tongues all the time. I don't mean 5 or 10 minutes a day. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your whole prayer life ought to be just, your old prayer life ought to be so different from your new one, you don't even recognize the old thing is praying. Paul said, pray without ceasing, in the Spirit and in understanding. You need to get with God and spend time with God, not 5 minutes, not 15 minutes. You ought to be praying in tongues during the day, all during the day. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit up here, a little bit here. Just praying in the Spirit whenever you have an opportunity. And then also you need regular times alone with the Lord to edify yourself, to build yourself up, to strengthen yourself. Okay? That's what it's for. That's why God's given it. He's given it also for worship and praise. John 4:24 is the one that I just quoted to you. It's a way that we can praise Him. Have you ever wondered what is the proper way to praise God? What way does He really like best? You know, you just love Him so much and you want to praise Him, but how do you do it the way He really likes best? You want to please Him. I don't know anybody who knows what He likes better than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows how to praise God because He is God. He knows exactly how to bring worship into heaven. He's been there from the beginning. He knows how the angels do it. See? So if we will let Him help us, then we can worship and praise the way God wants it. All right? It's a higher form of worship, a higher form of praise. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 18th verse, turn to this one. This is important. A lot of folks don't recognize that praying in the Spirit is a spiritual weapon. It is a spiritual weapon. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul lists the armor of the believer. He said we are to take the breastplate of righteousness. We're to take the shield of faith. We're to take the sword of the Spirit and so on. The helmet of salvation. But we usually stop at the 17th verse. But you notice Paul didn't stop there. He went on the 18th verse. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is that? What is it? Praying in tongues. When you're in a battle, what should you do? Put your armor on and then go into tongues. Now somebody says, well, the devil doesn't understand that. He does understand that kind of tongues. He knows what that is. Why do I know He knows? Because He beats it. He beats it. Now, I've heard from before I received the baptism that the devil didn't understand any of this. You know, when it's a private conversation with God, that is not scriptural. That's not in the Bible. So It is true that the word says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Doesn't say he doesn't speak unto the devil. And the way I saw this the first time was ministering to a person who was oppressed. And I began to try, I laid my hands upon this woman and I began to pray for her in my understanding, and out came tongues. And this before I knew anything. And the Lord used me that way to minister many, many times. Many times. And people were just delivered. Demons just flying everywhere. Okay, then he showed me this verse of scripture. Spiritual warfare. Speaking in tongues, you see, the devotional gift that is given to every one of you is also, do you know sometimes how when you get down and you begin to pray for somebody, sometimes you'll cry when you pray. Sometimes you'll feel just real awful and you just crying out to God in tongues. That's intercessory prayer. All of a sudden, that language, it just changed. And all of a sudden, you begin to like that in tongues. What do you think that is? You don't talk to God in that tone of voice, do you? Huh? You don't come before Him. Have you ever got to praying in tongues and just started banging on the floor or banging on your bed or banging on your table? Just like that? Have you ever had that happen to you in tongues? What do you think that is? You're not standing before God beating on the table. You understand what I'm saying? It's the Holy Spirit in you. You have prayed for that person. Oftentimes in the intercessory prayer, this will happen. You're praying the prayer of intercession for that individual, and you reach a wall in the Spirit. You reach a wall of resistance and hindrance in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows you're there. He knows what the problem is. All of a sudden, you just begin to pray powerfully in tongues, and through that wall you go. It happens in the realm of the spirit, you see, not in the physical. All right, when that happens to you, you know what that is. You're waging spiritual warfare in the spirit. The Holy Spirit is guiding your battle plan. Just go on and yield to the Holy Ghost. Let Him do whatever it is that He wants to do with you. Just use that, okay? Intercessory prayer we've talked about. We've talked about doing it at will, and we've talked about it also being a flowing stream. All right, now, let's talk about the ministry gift and the same rules that apply for the devotional gift do not apply for the ministry gift. And this is where people get confused. I think it's Brother Hagin that uses this example that if you were going to play basketball, you'd play basketball by basketball rules. You wouldn't use golf rules to play basketball. You'd look pretty silly out there trying to drive a basketball 500 yards with a driver, wouldn't you? So if you're going to play basketball, you have to play by those rules. If you're going to play tennis, you play by tennis rules. If you're going to minister in the gift of tongues, then you must minister according to those rules. If it's the devotional gift that you are using, then you must use that particular set of rules. You see, they won't work in the reverse. And this is where there's a lot of confusion. All right, now, everybody who is baptized in the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues and has the devotional gift, a language of prayer and praise and spiritual warfare that God will allow you to use as you use it. He'll use that to help you. And it's a blessing to you. It edifies you. It builds you up. The ministry gift is the diverse kinds of tongues, the one that we read earlier this evening, is not given to everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 11. This is we read. But all these gifts, including this one, divers kinds of tongues, worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. In verse 18, now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Everybody's not a nose in the body of Christ, or an eye, or an ear. Everybody does not minister in the gift, the supernatural spiritual gift, divers kinds of tongues. Everybody doesn't use that gift, even though you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the same way that everybody doesn't prophesy. Everybody doesn't operate in the gifts of healing. Everybody doesn't operate in the gift of word of knowledge. Everybody doesn't operate in the gift of faith or in the working of miracles. In the same way, everybody does not operate in the gift of diverse kinds of tongues, the ministry gift, that gift which is ministered to others. And that's what Paul is talking about in 12 28, 29, and 30. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. He's talking about ministries here, isn't he? Not gifts, but he's talking about people that have anointed ministries of God, apostles, prophets, and teachers. And then he follows that. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings. In other words, people that have a ministry of working of miracles, have a ministry of gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He's talking about ministries, those that minister regularly in that particular gift. Verse number 30, do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. What kinds of tongues? The ministry kind of tongues. The devotional kind? Yes. Yes. Because he says over in the 14th chapter, verse 5, I would that ye all spoke with tongues. Now, if the Holy Spirit through Paul said, I desire that you all speak in tongues, that would really be at cross purposes, wouldn't it, if God knew that everybody couldn't? Every believer can speak in tongues, should speak in tongues, this kind. He should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He should allow the overflow of the Spirit in his life. He should operate in this devotional prayer language gift. He should speak in tongues daily, every day, and several times during the day. But the ministry gift is something else now. It's not given to everybody, right? Only those whom God is using. All right. Now this is the one, and this will help you understand something else too. There are those that fault this devotional gift, fault tongues, because they observe the manifestation of speaking in tongues without interpretation. And Paul clearly says in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians that if the message is not interpreted, or if the tongue is not interpreted, it's out of order. Okay? Now, that is not the devotional gift. It's the ministry gift. The ministry gift operates like this. We said that this one is God, is man speaking to God. The ministry gift is God speaking to man. It's the reverse. Same idea, but the reverse. This one man initiates, this one God initiates by the Holy Spirit. As we are gathered here and we go to a time of prayer, for example, and God wants to speak to his children. He wants to talk to us supernaturally. And he stirs or prompts a brother or a sister to begin to speak out vocally in tongues. One person, not everybody, but one person. That is the ministry gift of tongues. God, by supernatural unction of his Holy Spirit, is speaking in a language that is unknown to the person who is speaking. That gift must always be followed by the gift of interpretation of tongues. Always followed. It is God speaking to men. All right, now, let's examine for a moment then God's purposes and how he uses this particular gift. Are you there at 1 Corinthians 14? Look at verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. He says, tongues are a sign, not for believers, because believers don't need a sign, but a sign for unbelievers. Now, how can that be? It can be, as Regina has shared tonight, where the tongue may be the language of that individual who is an unbeliever, and he experiences the miraculous, and he knows that it's God. And there are occasions that are recorded, numerous, where in a service, where a message would come in tongues, a person would speak out in tongues in a language unknown to him, but known to someone else who was there at the service. And the Spirit of God would speak in that tongue, in that man's tongue, and reveal something to him about himself that there was no way that anybody could ever know. And he knows it's God. He just knows it's God. Paul says the tongues are a sign for unbelievers, not for believers. Believers don't need a sign. And God will use it that way sometimes. Verse number 21, same chapter. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Yet for all that they will not hear, saith the Lord. God said that he would speak in other tongues to the people. Many still wouldn't hear, but he was going to use other tongues and strange lips to speak to his people. There are many whose hearts are so hard that they cannot hear the still small voice. They don't know the voice of God. The Holy Spirit draws and calls and woos, but they don't recognize the still small voice of the Spirit of God speaking to them inside. And they walk into a service, and by supernatural, the supernatural vocal miracle takes place. And they know it's God. They know it's God. I was reading about I've not had this happen in my own ministry, but reading about a young man that had married a Japanese girl. And she wouldn't have anything to do with his Christian religion. And one evening, they were at church. She was with him. And they were down at the altar praying. He was praying to Jesus and she was praying to Buddha. And there was a lady kneeling beside her just praying in tongues. All of a sudden, the language changed. And she began to speak in an Oriental kind of a tongue. And the girl just responded in she heard in her own language these words: "You've tried Buddha and he didn't help. Why won't you try Jesus?" And she knew, this lady, just a housewife, speaking in her own native tongue, talking to her directly, you see, God speaking through her to that lady. And not only in Japanese, but in temple Japanese. See? She got saved. Miracle, okay? God dealing with that lady, you see, to bring her to Christ. So God will, he'll do that from time to time. From time to time, you'll hear the gift of tongues, the ministry gift used in the service as public prayer or praise. And that happened also in the scripture in Acts 2.11. It says that, or in Acts 2.11 lists the 14 languages there that they spoke that day. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, the verse we read earlier in the 46th verse, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Sometimes it will come that way in a service, even to be interpreted, where it will be public praise, public worship, magnifying God or declaring His works. That's not as common a manifestation as the ones that we were talking about. But it is not used, one thing it is not used for is preaching the gospel. There are those that like to say that if tongues are for today, the only purpose God would have is to supernaturally equip a missionary so that he could preach to the natives in the jungle, because that's the way it was in Acts chapter 2. But in Acts chapter 2, we're told that Peter preached in the native tongue, not in the tongues of all the rest of them. He preached in the local Aramaic tongue when he preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. And so you just read there in Acts 2 and you'll see that one without any difficulty. And ask you, do you have any specific questions on tongues, the manifestation of it, why God has established it in the church today, this gift, and particularly the differences between these two that we might clarify in the time we have remaining? Mm-hmm.
I have had experiences where it'd be somewhere where it wouldn't be appropriate to speak in tongues out loud, but it would be like it was in my mind. Is this wrong? I mean, is it something like I'm making up, or am I hearing my spirit speak?
What are you hearing in your mind? The tongue?
It's not like I'm making it up, but I mean, it just comes.
Do you understand what it is? Yeah, that's all it is.
Out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. But now is this coming from my mind or my spirit?
It's coming out of your...
We've talked about this before too, and we've wondered if it's coming up from your spirit and
yeah.
You can hear it.
Yeah, that's right. It is coming up from your spirit. Your mind is still unfruitful. Okay. Your mind is still unfruitful because you don't understand what you were saying.
Right?
Even though your mind is operating, this is... This is a new spirit-filled Christian? This is his spirit, okay, his heart, and this is his mind. Now, even though he's a believer, he may have been a believer for many years in the Lord Jesus. And he knows he's a spirit being, but he's unfamiliar with spiritual things. All of his praying has always been out of his mind. All of his the only thing he has to go on is his understanding, that which he has learned, that which he has experienced, you see. He's still a soulish man, generally, rather than a spiritual one. And when he wants to speak, he only has one way to know, he only knows one way to speak, and that is out of his mind. And so he forms a thought in his mind, and he opens his mouth, and out will come that thought. And right behind, as he begins to speak, his mind, because he has done it for 30 years or 40 years or 5 years, however long he's lived on this earth, he has developed a confidence in his mind to feed his mouth the words. So as he speaks in his own understanding, out of his mind, he opens his mouth and he begins to talk, trusting his mind not to leave him without something to say. He trusts his mind because it always works that way. When he starts talking, when he starts saying something, the mind is working so much faster than the mouth, it has no difficulty getting the words to the mouth. So he speaks out of his mind. When you pray in tongues or speak in tongues, Paul says the mind is unfruitful. What's he talking about? He's talking about it's your spirit who is doing this speaking, using the same vehicle, using your mouth. Now, instead of your mind feeding your mouth, it's now your reborn spirit is feeding the words out your mouth. What words are coming? The only thing that's in your, no, there's nothing in your spirit except your own tongue. The only thing that can come out of there is that which the Holy Spirit gives you. He can give you any language he wants to without any notice, and he can change it. He can go back and forth. He can sing with it. He can speak with it. He can go loud, strong. He can go soft, gentle. He can do anything he wants. As long, you see, we've said that 1 Corinthians 6:17 said, he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. One spirit. What does that mean? It means that you, your new spirit, is one with the Holy Spirit. It's not two, it's one. You are joined together. Jesus prayed, John 17, that they may all be one as we are one. Okay, we become one with him when the Holy Spirit comes into our life and he resides there. He takes up residence there. He gives life there. And he can do out of that, out of your spirit, you see, whatever you will allow him to do. Now, if you'll surrender your mouth, he will speak. If you will open your mouth and begin to give utterance, the Holy Spirit will give you words the same way your mind gives you English words. Now, this is where folks mess up. They're trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have all this understanding. See? And you lay hands on them and pray for them, and they pray, ask Jesus to fill them with the Holy Ghost, thank him for so doing. He said, well, go on and speak now. Well, I don't have anything to say. Well, what do you mean you don't have anything? Well, I don't have any words. Where are you looking for the words? Well, there just isn't anything. Where are they looking? They're searching their mind, you see. They're searching their mind for the spiritual language, which isn't in their mind, it's in their heart. And it's an act of faith. And the way you speak in tongues is by faith. The same way you get saved, you open your mouth and you begin to speak in tongues. You just begin to make the sound, and you believe that the Holy Spirit, you see, will give utterance, and he will. And it's that act of faith. Same way you got saved. It's that act of faith which causes that language to come. And so while I'm standing here speaking to you in English and my mind is feeding me the words, I can stop instantly. And instantly, you see, begin to praise and worship God in another tongue. And open my mouth, and I know my spirit, you see, is going to give me words. And he does every time. He never, ever let me down. Now, sometimes God will help a person by first sending a word here, and then you pray for them. The person's prayed for. All of a sudden, they begin to get a funny word just kind of toying around in their mind. All right, what's happening is not coming out of their mind. It's coming from the Spirit into their mind, and it's God's way to help. It's God's way to try to make it easier. All right, what do you do when you get that word? You speak it. You speak it in faith, and you trust him to give more, and you keep speaking. All right, but some folks only get that one word or that one phrase or that one sentence, and they never speak anymore because they never proceeded in faith. They waited for God to give it in the mind, and the only thing he was doing by giving it in the mind was giving you a help. Just giving you a boost, giving you a little assistance, you see? So what, if you have it there, if you have it there, it's still coming out of the spirit, even though it may be in the mind. Okay, but speaking in tongues is not a matter of the mind. That's why Paul. That's why Jesus said, "God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And He wants that pure worship out of the spirit, rather than the worship that comes out of mind. All right, let's close there. We need to stop it. Father, we thank You for the wonderful enabling of Your Spirit. We thank You, our Father, that Your promise is to every believer for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. We thank You, Lord, that You are no respecter of persons and that You treat everybody alike. You require the same release of faith. You provide the same blessing and the same benefit. We thank You also, Father, that You have established in the church the supernatural gift of diverse kinds of tongues to minister to Your people in ways that You can dynamically and miraculously communicate with Your children, with Your family. Thank You, Father, that You grace us with Your presence in that manifested way and that You miraculously demonstrate that Your promise is true, that where two or more are gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus, that there You are in the midst. We thank You, Father, for that wonderful manifestation. We thank You, Lord, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gateway that that provides into the deeper things of God. Now, Father, take what we've learned tonight, cause it to remain in us, cause it to take deep root there, produce much fruit for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.